it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Always. Yep, Tim Hasselbeck every Wednesday, high noon. He now joins us, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this rainy Wednesday. Tim, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Got a question for you. I was watching your work on NFL Live yesterday. Why did they find it so hard to believe that you're nicer than Ryan Clark? I didn't understand why they just were having a hard time believing that.
I've developed a bit of a reputation there. being a little negative at times. Actually had a segment called Negatim or Positim, which I think probably stems from the time that I was on the radio with you guys and you were like Benny from the Bronx complaining about everything.
So I was about Benny, to say, I think Darren could be to blame Benny, for this.
So a little Benny's come out on NFL Live? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, I think what they, like, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'm being negative. I think I'm just being honest.
that's how I feel. I mean,
like, hey, give an off-season grade for the Packers, like, on their moves. And I'm like, you know, I thought it was a wasted pick to draft Jordan Love. Like, AJ Dillon, I love him, DC guy. I hope he has a great career. But Aaron Jones had 19 touchdowns last year. So you have to quarterback in the first round, and then you have to running back in the second round. And then the receivers that were, you know, within 14 picks of, you know, AJ Dillon, so striking distance if you wanted to get some help for Aaron Rodgers, or like Denzel Mims, Chase Claypool, Van Jefferson, like, you know, so like, sorry, am I going to give you an A? Is that negative? I don't know.
No, I thought it was honest. A very honest assessment. Why is Diana Rossini giving him a B+ and apologizing to Packers fans? What did I miss there?
See, you know, and Jeff Darlington was on saying that Tom Brady's actually a better golfer than that. I'm like, he doesn't need your help. Like, he's okay. I guess that makes me negative. I don't think so. So that's why it was kind of like a, you know, the best defense is a good offense. So I just was just getting it out there that I'm nicer than Ryan Clark.
Good stuff. I want you to weigh in on something we discussed last hour. We had Heather Dinich start the last hour, and so we talked some college football, and I brought up the supplemental draft afterwards and said, don't some of these schools or the NCAA, somebody, don't they owe it to these student athletes and their families to kind of tell them the direction, like what is the plan? Is there 100% going to be football in the fall? You know, tell them something, because I know the supplemental draft doesn't get a lot of coverage because usually just like one guy goes in the supplemental draft, maybe two. You know, there's been Josh Gordon go and Terrell Pryor, but overall there's not much hubbub over the supplemental draft. But this year, Tim, if there's no real, you know, decisions out there to be made, nobody's really, it's still kind of up in the air, and oh, by the way, they will be playing during a pandemic. If some of these guys are eligible, do you think there's a real shot, especially if you told them, hey, we're not sure? And I think the supplemental draft is, what, in July, sometime in July? Wouldn't some of these kids flock to the supplemental draft? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, the guy that you know, is on my mind, and maybe it's because I had a few of their games this past year, is Travis Etienne, the running back from Clemson.
I brought him up.
Like he decided to stay in. And I remember thinking at the time, I'm like, man, you're a running back. You're going to test well. I just was surprised at the decision to return to school for Travis Etienne. And, you know, now knowing what we know, like, I wonder if, you know, he's changed the way he felt about, you know, coming back. And wonder how much he knows, and I wonder how much, you know, the school is communicating with him, because it's a big deal. I mean, and being a second round pick, you know, or the what's his name, Trey Smith, the
sure, for UT, guard the from big tackle,
Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, so like I know that there are teams that have a first round grade on him. You know, this year, and he obviously has some health, you know, issues and stuff. But like, yeah, you just start to think about those guys. And I guess the life-changing kind of decision at that point. And, you know, I think the NCAA, I mean, they're probably more concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to do this, and, you know, how many, if they're not, what that's going to do to athletic programs around the country. And I'm sure that's the concern. But, yeah, I do think that, you know, those players are going to end up being hurt the most by this.
Since you obviously have some skins in the game with ESPN, how do you feel right now? I know it's still May, but how do you feel? Yeah. I mean, I know schools like the University of Tennessee came
really
out with...
I feel really good about the NFL.
That's why I'm not even bringing it up, because I agree with you. I kind of feel like it's going to go off the way that we sit here and look at the schedule. I think it's just going to go off the way it's scheduled right now. That's why I'm not even bringing up the NFL. I feel the same way. So what about on the college side? Like, yeah. How is this going to play out in your mind?
I don't have the slightest idea.
What's your gut telling you?
My gut is telling me that there's no – you know, these schools want to come back, right? So if kids are by and large on campus, then – I think there's a really good shot that you're playing college football. If you don't have kids on campus, which did I see that Tennessee made an announcement about that yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that now all of a sudden, it's like if you're getting a lot of that, then I don't know how you can have players living on campus. Or around campus, working out and practicing and meeting on campus, you know, or wherever their facility is, and then playing games on campus or wherever their stadium is. Like, I don't know how you can do that.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck.
I mean, would you agree?
I don't know what to make, Tim. I don't know. That's why I wanted to know how you felt, because it's a different dynamic than any of the other sports. You know, we're talking about today, the NHL unveiled their plan yesterday, and we're still waiting on the NBA and the MLB. NFL, I agree with you. I just think it's going to be business as usual. Maybe
here's
but
for the pro leagues, what's going to happen is if you can play them, you know, the owners are going to come and be like, hey, listen, we can do this. Players, are you on board? And they're like, wow, so I'm either going to get paid or not get paid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people are upset that it's about money and baseball and all that stuff. But, like, it comes down to the fact that, like, I think NFL players, the vast majority will want to play because they get paid over a 17-week, you know, season. And so until there's a regular season game, you're not getting paid. So, you know, I don't care if you've made $100 million playing football. If you're due to make 20, you're going to want to play. So, you know, whereas like in college football, I think the guys are going to want to play, but like their scholarship's not going away, and they don't have the say to be like, hey, we want to take that risk. I don't think that's how it works.
Take me into the mindset of Joe Flacco's camp, Tim, and why the Jets? Why was that the right option for him? I can see it from the Jets' standpoint. You want the guy that's clearly in the stage of, I would think, like he has to accept that job, that he's Sam Darnold's backup, right? And hopefully he'll be a good source of information for Sam Darnold. That makes perfect sense. But is Joe Flacco ready to go to that stage of his career? Why New York?
I think for Flacco, because of his, one, how he's played, two, the injury history and current health situation. And he's looking at, you know, being a backup. And then I think at that point it's finding an opportunity where you feel like, you know what, this would be a good match for me in terms of who the starter is, what my role would be, who the people I'm around, and, you know, if it makes sense. So that's why I think – you know, Flacco is there. I've heard a lot of people be like, well, look, he's not healthy. He's got this neck situation. You know, he's coming off of surgery with that, and he gets signed. Like, how come Cam Newton's not signed? You know, it's a similar situation where it's a health concern. I think the difference is that, you know, I think Cam is in a situation where, hey, he's maybe still looking for an opportunity to be a starter, thinks that there'll be something out there. The investment on that is more significant for a team. They're going to want to be more sure. Whereas, you know, it's a backup deal, you know, with the Jets, and that's just easier done. So it's easier for Flacco, it's easier for the Jets, and that's why something like that happens, I believe.
Give us your thoughts on the onside kick alternative that's out there.
I think that it is. I think it starts to benefit. I mean, how do I say this? It is a benefit over what the current situation is in terms of if you're the losing team, right? I think you're more likely to get a 4th and 15 than you will be to get an onside kick without letting anybody get more than a 5-yard, you know, head start at covering the football.
Right.
Part of the reason I think that is, one, it's just been so hard to recover an onside kick, but two, you know, now that you are going to have these 4th and 15 scenarios, they're going to be practiced. And, yeah, they'll be practiced on defense, but, like, they're going to be practiced more on offense, and there's going to be a plan more for them on offense. And I think because of that, you know, they're going to favor, you know, the losing team that's trying to get another possession.
Okay, so is 4th and 15, because there's a lot of sliding scale. If my quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, that's different than if my quarterback is, you know, an aging Steve DeBerg, or just to throw a name out there, right? Your quarterback and your receivers, that's going to slide the ability to get the 4th and 15. So is 4th and 15 the right number? And if so, is the yard line that you start on the right number? In other words, 4th and 15, should you be on your own 5-yard line instead of the 20 or the 25 or wherever you're going to get it?
Well, if you should be on the 5, you know, you think about an onside kick. If they're trying to just kind of replace the onside kick, I think that and make it more exciting, right? I think a 4th and, you know, like on your own 5-yard line, I guess you're taking possession at the, what is that? The 30-yard line, you know, 25-yard line, or whatever.
25.
Like, to me, yeah. Like, I don't know. I just, usually the clock's a factor. You know, I like the idea. You know, when you cover an onside kick, I mean, you're basically around midfield. I like the idea of being there, kind of in striking distance. You know, 4th and 20. I think it'd be really hard. I don't know what the numbers on 4th and 20 would be, but I think you would probably have a similar success rate on 4th and 20, you know, in terms of what you have recovering the onside kick. I think what they want to do is make it more exciting.
What we don't want, though, what we don't want is to have the middle of the season like we did in the pass interference thing, going, man, why they didn't put enough thought into this. This isn't working. Like, the team is getting it way too often, or you still have no shot. You know, you want to hit that perfect spot where it adds excitement. Yeah. It takes away the injury opportunities of the onside kick. But I think they got to really make sure they put it at the right spot.
So what would be the percentage that you would want it converted at? You know,
I think you would want it to be about the same as it used to be for the onside kick, probably between 15% and 20%, right?
Yeah, and I think that there's a chance that it's less than 15%. You know, I don't think we're going to see these all the time. You know, I don't know how many onside kicks there were last year, but, you know, I don't think that we're going to see, you know, 20 of these attempts, you know, weekend. I just, we're going to see them in, you know, certain games when the situation arises, you know, like that. Like, that's when you would see them. And, you know, if you just look at, you know, 3rd and 10+ conversion rates, they're not very good. And, you know, so with that being the case, like, I don't think you're going to be at 20% on a 4th and 15. I really don't, even with teams practicing it and get better at it. And look, some will be better than the others based on how your team is built. You know, I think your pass protection is. I mean, like 4th and 15 take a long time. So I feel like the number is the right number, and I'm not sure that there's going to be this unintended consequence the way that there has been about, you know, with the catch rule and with the pass interference rule. Like, I'm having a hard time envisioning what the unintended consequence would be, because I don't think you're going to have, even if you were off and it was 28% recovery rate, like, is that a bad thing?
I think you would have people saying, hey, this is different. This is different than football has been played for 100 years. If it gets that high.
Yeah, but the thing I would say is I don't think people would be complaining. I mean, obviously a losing team and its fans would, but like, I don't think people would be complaining if all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, now this last minute of this game rather than watching, you know, two nail downs is, you know, I got three more shots at the end zone here. You know?
There'd be an upside, no question.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So you did allude to the pass interference rule. Do you feel better that Troy Vincent has come out and said it was an epic failure, or does that really matter to you that the NFL is admitting that it just didn't work?
I am actually thrilled that they are acknowledging that it didn't work, because the thing that I think has bothered me the most about, you know, some of these situations with the league in the past is, you know, a little bit like when they'll give an explanation on a blown call over after the weekend and be like, no, we got it right. It's like, no, wait a second. No, we're watching this and we know you didn't get it right. Like, you're insulting my intelligence as a fan and a viewer by telling me this. So I actually appreciate the fact that they're like, you know what, we blew it. It was terrible. It failed. It didn't work. Like, because we all knew it. And so had they come out and kind of reverse course in terms of what they said, I don't know. I think that's better. So, yeah, it was a total failure because it wasn't used the way it was supposed to be used. And then it got to the point where they were changing how they were using it without ever telling anybody that that's what they were doing. And so you had everyone from coaches to players to fans having no idea, you know, what, you know, like how something was going to be used or ruled. And so that's never good for the game.
So do you like the, you know, we saw it in the XFL and the AAF. Do you like the sky judge idea to help with some of this stuff? Or would that be a rush to judgment, so to speak?
I think I'm okay with it from the standpoint of, unless we're going to be, like, you know, trigger happy with it, I'm all for it. Like, I'm not an anti-replay guy. Like, some people are like, listen, it's a, you know, it's a human error, like, just deliver the call on the field and go. Like, I think we want calls right. It's why everyone was so upset about the Nickell Robey Coleman play in the Saints-Rams game, is because we want it to be right. And so, like, I'm for, if there's, like, a brutal mistake, I'm for someone being like, hey, let's get this right. With that being said, you know, I do think there are elements of, you know, we could all do it. I think there's some stuff we would see where we would all be in agreement and be like, yep, that's PI, or yep, that was a catch, or yep, you know, both of his feet were in. But there are going to be some times where we look at it. I mean, think of the Music City Miracle, right? So we look at it, and it's like, was it a lateral? Was it not? Like for stuff like that, you just got to live with it. Like, it is what it's like the call on the field has to stand, and sometimes you have to let it go. So, and I think you just have to understand it's going to be that way. So that's where I am with it. I don't want it to be something that, you know, every official on the field is officiating the game differently because they're waiting to be overridden, you know, by somebody, you know, the eye in the sky that's controlling that.
Tim, good stuff as always. thanks for joining us. You and the family safe? Everything good?
Thanks. Yeah, we're good. You know, I'm working on my shelving. I might have to move my in-home studio. It's been a little disruptive to the rest of the crew here.
Okay.
So,
we'll get an update on that.
I'm finding that picture of Chase and I walking on the beach. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to put that.
Did he trip over anything when you guys were walking on the beach?
No,
a sea turtle.
Good stuff. Enjoy the rest of your week. Always
see,
good to
we
talk
should
to
dare
you.
Tim to put things up behind him on some of these live shots. That could be fun.
Listen, not above doing that.
Ooh. We will. We may come up with a list and see. Run it by you next time and see if you're willing to do any of it.
Okay, I have said words on air before that made no sense. for a reward.
Thanks, Tim.
Listen, I don't think any of you guys are above that. Okay,
no, not at all.
Pretty sure on some press broadcasts, I've heard some words. I'm like, why did he say
snickerdoodle? I have had some proposals. Let's just say that.
All right, Tim. Thanks, man.
Good stuff. See you guys.
All right. That's Tim Hassebeck. Always
enjoy my laundry.
Our chats with him here on Darren, Donica, Chase. We'll be back.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.